Greg is a graduate of Joliet College and Moody Bible Institute. He earned his THM here in 1992 and then the DMin in Marriage and Family in 2014. And currently he serves as the Dean of Enrollment and Alumni Services here at DTS. This former youth pastor is an instructor for Walk Through the Bible Ministries, teacher for the Rapid Reading Course, a licensed tour guide in Israel, and will also be teaching the Christian marriage class this fall. Dr. Hedeberg and his wife, Lisa, have been married for 36 years and have four children. He enjoys farming, golf, a good game of pool, and a few licks on the harmonica. And recently I've come to understand that it's more than just a few licks. How many harmonicas do you have, Greg? Please join me in welcoming Dr. Greg Hedeberg to chapel today.
Thank you, Pastor Joe. That's quite a piece of creative writing you had there. You know, it's not so much what's written on a piece of paper, but what's really imprinted in the hearts of men. And Patrick, great music. Thank you very much. Man, I haven't seen so many toes tapping since we turned the lights on in the basement and stomped out roaches. You know, but have you actually look at the faculty when they clap? It's kind of like you're stuck in the buffer zone. No. Anyway. Well, it's been a good week in Little Lisbon, Illinois, my hometown. Small Norwegian community out in the middle of the country where the men mow their fences and they're really proud of them. You go out to West Lisbon Lutheran Church, cathedral in the cornfield, and have potluck supper. Oh, man. The ladies just come bringing those recipes that have been handed down from generation to generation, perfecting them to the point where they bring this spread that, you know, you could almost use it as the eighth sign in the book of John, attesting to the deity of Christ. Actually, it's been said that the angels have looked down on one of those events and gone to the Lord and said, you know, we're going to have to step up this marriage supper of the Lamb, or these people are going to be disappointed when they come up here. Well, on Sunday, we get together. And at those dinners, my aunt, Donna Thorson, my aunt, Marge Johnson, friend, Sharon Freestead. Yeah, I told you it's Norwegian. Yeah, they'd all get together with all the ladies and put together those potluck suppers. And we as kids, yeah, we dress up every Sunday. You know, on Sunday after church, we'd all either go to our house or my aunt and uncle's house, my Aunt Sally, Uncle Warren's house, and we'd have family dinner. And, dinner in the country is at noon. See, breakfast is at 7 o'clock after you get done milking the cows. Lunch is at 10 o'clock. Dinner is at noon. Lunch is again at 3 o'clock. And supper is at 6 o'clock. And then 9 o'clock, you have a snack. And so we go over to Aunt Sally's for dinner. And it would be great. We'd sit around the table and talk and about things at church. And it was just a great time. Well, then after dinner, we'd usually the men and the boys would take a ride. And we'd drive down the gravel roads and check out, see how straight the farmers all planted their corn lines and see if their bean fields needed to be walked. And about time dinner sets in and those rows just kind of mesmerize you after a while and laying in the back window of the car, that warmth, yeah, that was before seatbelts, I'd fall asleep. But the great part is, you would eventually wake up at Tasty Freeze, getting some ice cream. You know, but those Sunday afternoons before I'd fall asleep were just precious, precious times listening to my uncle and my dad and my grandpa just talk about life stuff. practical stuff. Stuff that you just need to know. Stuff like, you know, they talk about people fussing at church about how short they mowed the churchyard this week. And then Grandpa would say, yeah, empty trucks make the most noise. Or, don't stand behind the dairy cows that have been loose in the alfalfa field. Some of you will get that later. Or, worst time to have heart attacks during a game of charades. Or, we always told Uncle Everett, don't take laxative and a sleeping pill on the same night. You know, common sense is like deodorant. People that need it most usually don't use it. But then I heard him talk about all kinds of stuff going on in the world. And you know, by the end of the ride, they just kind of put things in perspective. Kind of reminds me about the book of Ecclesiastes. What do you think of when you usually think of the book of Ecclesiastes? Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. You know, every time I heard somebody talk like that, it just reminded me about old man Michelson having a bad case of prune juice. He was just grumpy, you know. You know, we'd go up and say, nice day today. He says, well, it's getting dark. It's going to rain next week. You know. People think that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about, and that's not really what it's about at all. Thinking that's what Ecclesiastes is about is it's kind of like thinking, I'm going to the zoo and all you see is elephant poop. You know, you're just looking at the wrong places. It's like reading the book of Psalms and thinking, well, that's just praying prayers against bad men that would die. Or the book of Job is about a guy with three crummy friends. Or the Song of Solomon is, well, you get my point. I could never reconcile, why would God write a book that just told you why life was so meaningless? And then I read the book. And then with help from a few friends like Gene Pond and John Martin and Walt Kaiser, I realized it wasn't a book about meaninglessness at all. It wasn't about some cynical old pervert who, you know, didn't know what life was about. But it said it was written by a man who was wise. It was read on the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was read at a celebration time. I mean, that'd really be a bummer in the midst of your party, somebody getting up and say, life is empty. No, I don't think that was it. Also, joy is 17 times in the book. And there's a phrase that is used 6 times throughout the book. Eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy the fruit of your labor, for it's a gift of God. That's a great book. Fear God is used 3 times, and 7 times says, you know, God will judge men rightly. You know, when the Lord wants you to make sure you get it, he just kind of repeats things. Joy, it's a great book. I think it's an upbeat book about how to enjoy life in context. Well, it's an upbeat book. I love it. I think the book was just made for me. That's the way I love to live, enjoying life. In fact, that's what the alumni office, we have 3 principles in the alumni office. Work hard, play hard, eat well. Okay? And I think that's really what the book of Ecclesiastes is kind of about. Even the layout of Ecclesiastes supports this idea of enjoyment. First half is you can't live in the past. The second half is you can't live in the future. You got to live in the present according to God's word. And you can enjoy it. Yeah. You know, but those who live in the past or try to live in the future, they're robbing themselves of living in the present and enjoying God. I think the author of Ecclesiastes drove those 6 statements, eat, drink, and be merry, at strategic times, just like old man Sidmore's fence around his hayfield. It kind of keeps things in perspective. And then then life stuff happens, and then that phrase comes, eat, drink, and be merry. Life stuff happens, and you kind of come back each time to God's perspective of what's going on. You know, Ecclesiastes is kind of about the tension between the embedded image of God in our soul and man's attempt to try to fill that apart from God. Trying to fill things, that Pascal had it right, that God-shaped vacuum that we try to fill with life apart from God. It just doesn't work. God wants to bring us back to having life with God and enjoying it. You know, it kind of reminds me of the Anderson kids. They kept on trying to do all kinds of things, and then they went to Colorado to try to find themselves. You know, why does everybody go to Colorado? You know,
weather.
Yeah. And what did they eventually find? You know, you can climb every one of those 14ers on that mountain, and after you've climbed the last one, you just find something else to climb. People who try to find God apart from Him, it's futile. Well, you know, when you want to really know what a book is about, you either look at the beginning, or you look at the content in the middle, or you look at the end. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, stated right in the end, in 12, 13 to 14, the conclusion kind of states it pretty clear. When all has been heard, is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it be good or evil. You know, I think if we had a conference on Ecclesiastes, you know, and those churches set up those booths around selling bumper stickers on what Ecclesiastes meant, you know, the Baptists would probably be over there, and their bumper stickers say, "Stuff happens." You know, it's a Christian conference, you know. And the Methodists in the back there, you know, a little bit more earthy, they probably have bumper stickers that say, "Life sucks, then you die." But, the one that I think I would buy, it says, "Life is short. Smile while you still have teeth." You know, that's what Ecclesiastes is all about. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Ecclesiastes is kind of like our school motto is teach truth, love well. You know, to represent Ecclesiastes, I think it would really say real life. Live well. You got to experience real life. Live well. Ecclesiastes has those same kind of statements. Some things are reality, and then some things are right. In the 10th chapter, it says, "Men prepare meals for enjoyment, wine makes merry, and money is the answer to everything." You know, sometimes that's just reality. May not be right, but sometimes it's reality. Then in the 12th chapter, it says, "Beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and the excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body." Yeah, I think he must have been in one of your classes. Well, Greg, you saying that life is just a party all the time? No. I'm not saying it's a party all the time. But I'm saying you do have to have the right attitude. You have to have the right perspective, even in tough times. You see, that's the barbed wire between the posts. Times can be tough, and even Ecclesiastes calls it mysteries, because sometimes you just can't figure it out. Sometimes life just doesn't make sense. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Prosperity doesn't mean approval. Adversity doesn't mean evil. But you got to make sure that as you're living life, you have those fence posts driven deeply into God and find meaning in Him. Don't lose your joy. Keep your perspective. You know, because as it says, God will take care of it in the end. I think Ecclesiastes is a book that we should all live out. To sum up Ecclesiastes, you can't find meaning in the meaningless. You got to find joy in the enjoyment, and you must fear God and keep His commandments. You know, a lot of times applications that we hear, unfortunately, we set these truths on the shelf just like our required reading books. So, to celebrate this summer, all the hard work that you have done and are finishing up, we need to apply the book of Ecclesiastes of eat, drink, and be merry. So, ladies of alumni, if you'll just get up and go to the doors, what I want to do to apply this message of eat, drink, and be merry, and enjoy the hard work that you have done, and take out some time. You've had to do hard work, so enjoy it. And enjoy the fruit of your labor. So compliments of Jeff White and Chick-fil-A, there's going to be a coupon for each one of you to go enjoy just a little something after all your hard work. Well, the old clock on the wall says it's time to go, and you need to get back to class. So, that's all from my hometown, Little Lisbon, where the men all work hard, the women are precious treasures, and the kids play outside.